Blog Talk Radio.
You're going busting your fist against a stone wall. You're not using your brain. That's what the white man wants you to do. Look at you. What makes you ashamed of being black?
Number love for you.
You know how hard it is. Don't doubt. Being a woman, a black woman at that. In this white man's world. Sometimes we overlook the fact that we can ride hard now since we won't be knowing the pain we can cause.
It's white man's world.
It's white man's world. I ain't saying I'm innocent at all.
And it's white man's world.
This song, yeah. Of all those times that I messed up, but we messed up.
Dear sister, got me twisted up in prison, I miss you. Crying, looking at my nieces and my nephews' picture. They say don't let this cruel world get you. Kinda suspicious, swearing one day you might leave me for somebody that's richer. Cap off the bottom, I take a sip and see tomorrow. Gotta make it if I have to beg a bottle. Beating love letters late night, locked down and quiet. Your brothers don't receive they mail, best believe we ride. Eating Jack Mack, staring at the walls of silence. Inside this cage where they captured all my ways and violence. In time I learned a few lessons, never fall for riches. Apologies to my true sisters, far from bitches. Help me raise my black nation, reparations to do. It's true, caught up in this world, I took advantage of you. So tell the babies how I love them, precious boys and girls. Born black, in this white man's world. And all I heard was, to my homie's head, died in his vest. Shot him to death and left him bleeding for his family to see. I passed his casket, gently ask him, is there heaven for Jesus? My homeboy's doing life, baby mama be stressing. Shedding tears when her son finally asked that question. Where my daddy at? Mama, why we live so poor? Why you crying? Heard you late night to my bedroom door. Now do you love me, mama? Why they keep on calling me nigga? Get my weight up with my hate and pay him back when I'm bigger. It's still ducking in his jail cell. Missing my block. Hearing brothers screaming all night. Wishing they stopped. Proud to be black, but while we act like we don't love ourselves. So look around you, suck, check yourselves. Know what it means to be black. Whether a man or girl, we still struggling. And it's white man's world.
White man's world.
We must fight for brotherhood.
Direction. And I'm thinking an eye. My time away just made perfection. Cause I think I die. Not going wild, why should I care? Like we holding on to lost love that's no longer there. Can you please help me? God bless me, please keep my seeds healthy. Making all my enemies bleed while my G's wealthy. Hoping they bury me with ammunition, weed and shells. Just in case they trip in heaven, ain't no G's in hell. Sister, sorry for the pain that I caused your heart. I know I've changed if you help me, but don't fall apart. Rest in peace to Lil Tasha, Lil Yummy and Kato. Too much for this cold world to take, ended up being fatal. Every woman in America, especially black, stay with me, can't you see that we under attack? I never meant to cause drama to my sister and mama, but when we make it to a better time. And it's white man's world.
You're out of touch with reality. For a few of you in a few smoke-filled rooms calling that the mainstream, while the masses of the people, white and black, red, yellow, and brown, poor and vulnerable, are suffering in this nation.
Never that.
And it's white man's world. They can't stop us. We've been here all this time. They took us out. They can never take us out.
Thank you.
Mars, they call Ding, all the real OGs, we out.
The seal and the Constitution reflect the thinking of the founding fathers that this was to be a nation by white people and for white people. Native Americans, blacks, and all other non-white people were to be the burden bearers for the real citizens of this nation.
My name is Asada Shakur, and I was born and raised in the United States. I am a descendant of Africans who were kidnapped and brought to the Americas as slaves. I spent my early childhood in the racist, segregated South. I later moved to the northern part of the country, where I realized that black people were equally victimized by racism and oppression. I grew up and became a political activist, participating in student struggles, the anti-war movement, and most of all, in the movement for the liberation of African Americans in the United States. I later joined the Black Panther Party, an organization that was targeted by the COINTELPRO program, a program that was set up by the Federal Bureau of Investigation to eliminate all political opposition to the U.S. government's policies to destroy the black liberation movement in the United States, to discredit activists, and to eliminate potential leaders. Under the COINTELPRO program, many political activists were harassed, imprisoned, murdered, or otherwise neutralized. As a result of being targeted by COINTELPRO, I, like many other young people, was faced with the threat of prison, underground, exile, or death. The FBI, with the help of local police agencies, systematically fed false accusations and fake news articles to the press, accusing me and other activists of crimes we did not commit. Although in my case the charges were eventually dropped or I was eventually acquitted, the national and local police agencies created a situation where, based on their false accusations against me, any police officer could shoot me on sight. It was not until the Freedom of Information Act was passed in the mid-70s that we began to see the scope of the United States government's persecution of political activists. At this point, I think that it is important to make one thing very clear. I have advocated, and I still advocate, revolutionary changes in the structure and in the principles that govern the United States. I advocate self-determination for my people and for all oppressed people inside the United States. I advocate an end to capitalist exploitation, the abolition of racist policies, the eradication of sexism, and the elimination of political repression. If that is a crime, then I am totally guilty. To make a long story short, I was captured in New Jersey in 1973 after being shot with both arms held in the air and then shot again from the back. I was left on the ground to die, and when I did not, I was taken to a local hospital where I was threatened, beaten, and tortured. In 1977, I was convicted in a trial that can only be described as a legal lynching. In 1979, I was able to escape with the aid of some of my fellow comrades. I saw this as a necessary step, not only because I was innocent of the charges against me, but because I knew that the racist legal system in the United States, I would receive no justice. I was also afraid that I would be murdered in prison. I later arrived in Cuba, where I am currently living in exile as a political refugee. The New Jersey State Police and other law enforcement officials say they want to see me brought to justice. But I would like to know what they mean by justice. Is torture justice? I was kept in solitary confinement for more than 2 years, mostly in men's prisons. Is that justice? My lawyers were threatened with imprisonment.
I just want to spend a minute talking about a couple of the, some of the parallels between mass incarceration and Jim Crow, and then, you know, end it. Once I get started talking here, I can go. But consider some of the rules and laws that apply to those labeled felons today, and ask yourself if they remind you of a bygone era. Denial of the right to vote. Right? 48 states and the District of Columbia denied prisoners the right to vote. Now, mind you, that's not the case in other Western democracies. You know, in fact, in other countries, there are often voting campaigns within prisons. There's voting drives within prisons. In other Western democracies, you don't forfeit your citizenship when you go to prison. You're still a person. You're still a citizen. You're still part of that country, even if you're in prison, you get to vote. In the United States, nearly every state denies prisoners the right to vote, and that's just the tip of the iceberg, because then once you're released, you can be denied the right to vote for a period of years, maybe until your probation or parole expires, or for the rest of your life. It's up to the individual state. And nationwide, about 1 in 8 black men are either temporarily or permanently disenfranchised as a result of felon disenfranchisement laws. Exclusion from jury service. You know, one hallmark of the Jim Crow era, of course, was all-white juries, you know, particularly in the South. Well, these all-white juries have had a roaring comeback in recent years. Why? Well, in part because anyone convicted of a felony is considered automatically ineligible for jury service. Automatically ineligible for jury service. And then, get this. If you've ever had a negative experience with law enforcement, you could be struck from a jury for cause. You know, prosecutors able to persuade the judge that that negative experience that you have in law enforcement might bias your judgment in a criminal case. Now, good luck finding.
Right.
Many African Americans, particularly of Portuguese color, who have not yet had a negative experience with law enforcement that conceivably biased them in a criminal case. So even in some areas with relatively large black populations, you see all-white or nearly all-white
today, officials decree that rapper Brad Jordan, alias Scarface, must be stopped. After being monitored by Secret Service agents for 2 years, evidence leads tobacco and firearms officials to believe that his literally dope lyrics promote drug usage and distribution, degrade women, influence gambling, promote and teach violence, and more importantly, it's influencing our minors and destroying our communities. Officials say he's the lord of underground rap. Again, him and his music must be stopped.
We got this whole motherfucker on the mission. Now the whole entire world has gotta try to come up with a quick decision. They claim we threat to society, and now they're calling on the government to try to make somebody quiet for the bullshit they done to me. Gangsta Nip Spice warned that Tupac never gave a gun to me. So gangsta rap ain't done shit for that. I've even seen white folks from River Oaks don't get to get. So why you trying to kick some dust up? America's always been known for blaming us niggas but they fucked up. And we were always considered evil. Now they're trying to bust our only code of communicating with our people. Let's peep the game from a different angle. Matt Dillon pulled his pistol every time him when someone tangled. So why you criticize me for the shit that you see on your TV? That freaks worse than PG. Just bring your ass to where they got me, so you can feel the hand of the dead body.
Nigga, don't believe that song. That nigga's wrong.
So now they trying separation and sending black folks in white coats to infiltrate our congregation, tapping into our conversation, taking the message that they get, bring forth wrong premeditation. So David's got a silver man, while listening to Brad, David gets pissed and killed his dad. David Duke's got a shotgun. So why you get upset? Cause I got one. A chest kit, a task kit. A nigga got his ass kicked, shot in the face by a cop, closed casket. An open and shut situation. Cop gets got, they wanna blame it on my occupation. If you don't dig me, then nigga, you can sue me. Cause the shit that I be saying ain't worse than a Western movie. Don't blame me, blame your man Gotti. So you can feel the hand of the dead body.
Nigga, don't believe that song, that nigga's wrong. Gangsters don't live that long. Nigga, don't believe that song, that nigga's wrong. Gangsters don't live that long.
You better free your mind before I free my nine and stop fucking with Detroit of pop. I feel my hot rocks. Bang bang, boom boom, ping ping. I'm the black white boy's got a magazine and don't know how to act. I attack and make you vomit. Down with Khaled, I do Muhammad. Dewey got a brother, I'm McNeil. I'm the illest. Wanna kill this house nigga Don Cornelius. Can you feel this? You punk niggas make me sick. Sucking on the devil's dick, scared of revolution. Need to start douching. Houston is the place. I caught a case. The motherfuckers tried to put a scar on my face. But I bust two times to the guts. Do the Reverend Calvin bust. Got a pair of nuts. I started this gangster shit in 86. Now you're dissing me for publicity. Isn't he a hoe to the third degree? Who me? I'm a G that like to scrap a lot. Down with rap a lot. And I can't stop, won't stop. So fuck Bill and Hillary. Ice Cube, it ain't no killing me. Ice Cube, Scarface, dropping it on these sellout ass niggas. Doing it like
nigga don't believe that song, that nigga's wrong. Gangsters don't live that long. Nigga don't believe that song, that nigga's wrong. Gangsters don't live that long.
Sisters, my brother, they were intended to familiarize them with the situation I was faced with here. Of course, here in prison, we see the repression, the exploitation, the victimization of lower class.
In 61, Jackson was 19 years old, and he received the indeterminate sentence of 1 year to life.
Well, I was incarcerated under a wonder life, a term they call for a wonder life, where I could have done 1 year and been released. I've done 10. That's more time than anybody in this state has ever done on a wonder life. I went through all the processes. I tried to get out. I went to school, program, but now on the side, I was studying. Things that I felt it would help the community.
Those on the right saw him as the most powerful threat in the prison system.
I think racism is a control device, a control mechanism. Create an atmosphere whereby they can control inmates. And black is just a continuation.
He was the true revolutionary, the black communist guerrilla in the highest state of development.
I'd be the last one to say that Johnson had suicide in mind. I'm certain that Johnson felt that the police would have some concern, would give some concern to the lives of those five civilians. I'm thinking that Johnson was trying to demonstrate to the public, to the people, just how he felt that these problems should be.
Was the incident for which you're charged now, was it a revolutionary act on your part?
You asking me to confess to something?
No. Unless you wanted to. Did you feel that?
Look, one of the most important elements of guerrilla warfare is to maintain secrecy. I've killed nobody until it's been proven. And they'll never be able to prove it.
Know what I mean? It's war. Know what I mean? Yo, Stick. I mean, shit be real on the block. Pigs be out there, occupied army. RBGs, it's a takeover, not a makeover. Yeah. The cops stop you just because you black, that's war. When you through the system for your prince, that's war. When they call my hood a drug zone, that's war. Slumlord charging you for rent, that's war. Why they so rich and we poor, that's war. If you young and black, you sell crack, that's war. The White House is the Rock House, that's war. George Bush coming out his mouth, that's war. Chilling on the corner with your gang, that's war. Popo do the same damn thing, that's war. When they murdered Amadou Diallo, that's war. Marching in the streets is a strategy of war. Knowing self-defense is a strategy of war. Soldiers try to link with other soldiers in the war. Revolutionaries got to know the art of war. War, what about hip-hop? Use that. Matter of fact, fuck a rap battle. What about a gap battle? Let's take it to the beast and see which cat tattle. Is it Kiss versus Beans or P versus Ho? What about y'all real niggas against the 5-0? This is M1, DP, don't you forget. Cause you can talk, 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 but that don't mean shit. I ain't gotta pop your top to see where your brains went. This rap shit is way bigger than entertainment. It's the people versus the pigs when it all go down. It's not pop versus big, it's who's getting the power. The power ain't money, dog, it's self-determination. Like taking hot and making it the real people station, that's war. Know what I mean? Yeah. Rap war, whatever war. You live a fast life, more or less, more so, it's still war. Dead Prez, the People Radio. Yeah. Get down, get down, get down. RBGZ, biatch.
You are now listening to WRBG, the People's Radio. It's a takeover, not a make.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, to whom all praise is due, whom we forever thank for giving us the Honorable Elijah Muhammad as our leader, teacher, and guide. And I specifically, ladies and gentlemen, and brothers and sisters, open up like that because I am a representative of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And were it not for him, you and I wouldn't be here today. In order for you and me to devise some kind of method or strategy to offset some of the events or a repetition of the events that have taken place here in Los Angeles recently, we have to go to the root. We have to go to the cause. Dealing with the condition itself is not enough. We have to get to the cause of it all, or the root of it all. And it is because of our effort toward getting straight to the root that people oftentimes think we are dealing in hate. But first, I would like to congratulate and give praise to the Negro, so-called Negro leaders and so-called Negro organizations. And excuse me if I say so-called, it's hard for me to just outright say Negro when I know what that word Negro really means. The person whom you have come to know as Ronald Stokes, we know him as Brother Ronald, one of the most religious persons who displayed the highest form of morals of any black person anywhere on this earth. And as one of the previous speakers pointed out who knew him, everyone who knew him had to give him credit for being a good man, a clean man, an intelligent man, and an innocent man when he was murdered. The Negro, so-called Negro organizations and leaders should be given great credit for for their failure or refusal to let the white man...
We always say to the Black Panther Party that they can do anything they want to us. We might not be back. I might be in jail. I might be anywhere. But when I leave, you can remember I said with the last words on my lips that I am a revolutionary. And you're going to have to keep on saying that. You're going to have to say that I am a proletarian. I am the people. I'm not the pig. You've got to make a distinction. And the people are going to have to attack the pig. The people are going to have to stand up against the pig. That's what the Panthers are doing. That's what the Panthers are doing all over the world.
Fred.
Black power, black power, black nation. You're tuned into In Defense of the People, the weekly night broadcast at 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, with your host, People's Political Party National Chair, Matt Turner, co-host, National Minister of Defense, Brother Motherland, myself, and our engineers on the ones and twos, who we like to refer to as our assault technician, Sister Amina, National Minister of Communication. Calling each and every Tuesday night, same black place, same black time at 845-277-9266. Press 1 to participate, to get in on a topic. If you have a question or comment, tonight's topic, the criminalization of our children continues. We're going to open up our phone lines to our national chair, Matt Turner, Yahuru, Black Power, and all power to the people, comrade. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me, Yahuru? That's what's up. Straight up.
Yahuru, loud and clear.
Yeah, right. Black power to black people, specifically all power to the people. You know what I'm saying? In general. Yeah, we want to continue this, topic that we had last week. Somehow, some kind of way, our show just magically disappeared from the airwaves. Just magically wouldn't function right. And we just want to let the listeners know and the people know that we've been around long enough and in the trenches enough and to understand that as a result of being able to reach the people effectively, and that could be different grade types of whatever at what level, but anyway, to be able to reach people and get people to see and really understand things like some of us would say, have been saying, waking our people up, and that any time an individual or group of persons start becoming noticeable in that form, the state resorts to its tactics to disrupt what Pig FBI referred to as neutralize, and how the state's armed at attack the Black Panther Party in various ways through media forms and whatnot. And so we don't believe that our show was a victim of human error, technical difficulties. We know and understand that, yes, technical difficulties do happen. But that is the way to go in to sabotage. And we've had our show sabotaged a number of times before. And so we must be doing something right. And we just wanted the people to, to know what went on, what's going on. Our radio show is In Defense of the People Radio. And that's exactly what it is. And so last week we would have wrapped up the topic that we had started, the criminalization of our children. And we featured the little sister, the little princess who was charged with first degree murder in New Iberia, Louisiana, November of 2023, and in the death of Cameron Betts. So and we don't know what happened or what brought that about. A lot of times people swear they know, but they don't really know. But for the record, the loss of any of our young people's lives or black people's lives, we can send our condolences and stuff, to avoid being narrow-minded or whatever, or just one-sided picture. But at the same time, you know, in the real world, in these little Vietnams, you don't really know a lot of the time what leads to such unfortunate incidences. But we do understand that these unfortunate incidences are orchestrated in such a way that it can go over our heads. We don't really understand it because, you know, traditionally we've been taught and told about black-on-black crime like it's just something that just happened out of a vacuum with no predicates to it other than just blaming the youth or the streets or the criminal elements and whatnot, you know, without even going into any type of true understanding because we've been miseducated so terribly. And most of us probably don't even know that the average criminal was white, you know. You know, so but because of the art of projection, whenever America decides to add dirty laundry, it uses nine whites. Therefore, it would keep painting this, what is called lily white picture of white civilization, you know, of white intellect, of white success, and the smart white child in the commercial, you know, or and whatnot, you know, the young black boy with the basketball in his hand, you know, the young black girl with a curling iron in her hand and whatnot. And that's not to say, you know, to trip off, you know, the fact that we have to make money in ways that we have to for the simple fact of survival. But the criminalization of our children is not no mirage. It's a real thing. You know, it would be insane on our part. It would be dysfunctional on our part to believe that a system that was created by a handful of white, wealthy, stockholding, slave owners who in essence were lawyers that would get behind closed doors and write up a constitution and then say this is the Constitution of the United States, you know, the Bill of Rights, you know, and then expect that black people would somehow, some kind of way, come into success and be their equals. There are some disgruntled whites who have become militants and even revolutionary minded and whatnot, you know, and are disgruntled with the system, that they see the system as the enemy. So it would be ludicrous on our part to actually believe that they would let us go free and then allow us collectively to be their equals and share in the power. Some people get confused between wealth and power. Having wealth doesn't necessarily mean that you have the power. Bill Gates is wealthy, but what kind of raw naked power does Bill Gates actually have? That's what I'm saying to you. To give you an example of power, Benjamin Pig Netanyahu got in the news and made it clear that ain't a force on the earth or a force in this world that's going to stop the operation that they about to do in Rafah. He made it clear. He made it clear. He didn't make it clear to West Asia. He didn't make it clear to parts of Europe. He didn't make it clear to Texas. He didn't make it clear to LA. He didn't make it clear to Atlanta. He didn't make it clear to Maine. No, he didn't make it clear to the Caribbean. You know, he didn't make it clear to the, you know, Pacific Islands way out there. He made it clear. He said the world. Now, what makes a man say that? What makes a man say that? And with confidence and arrogance. You see, so it's about a power relationship. And so the power system, if it's not designed for nine whites, and we're not even going to get into this shit about morals and ethics and all this kind of stuff. We're not even going to get into that. What makes you think our children would somehow, some kind of way, fare good in this system? it is no coincidence that our children have gotten to the point where they just like, you know, fuck everything. We just gone, whatever. And there's no coincidence. You know, I remember hearing when I was a teenager, and, you know, start being a legal adult, you know, something happened here, something happened over there. You know, you hear about something, read about something, and the first thing these motherfuckers are saying, where her parents was, where his daddy was at. You know, it starts at home, all that kind of shit there. When did we ever have a home? You don't produce no show, okay, the Huxtables, and say, look, you know, now, that was done for a reason, because there was this thing during that time about the movies and whatnot. You know, every time you look around, they're showing the black man negatively in movies and all these different types of shit. You know, so Bill Cosby and some Negro sociologists got together as a consultant, and they would try to change this imagery and give us this successful black couple that had these beautiful children, you know, and so forth. You know, the doctor, the lawyer, and the son is in school, at law school, and so forth. But there's always one, you know, the little punk rocker type, you know, and so forth. And so the imagery, you know, as a way of pushing back against the white supremacist cinematic industry, you know, the promotion of whiteness, you know, if anything's going to be good or the hero, you know, against the villain, he has to be white, you know, and even the white women calling themselves having a issue with sexism and all this other kind of shit, which led them to start these feminist movements and whatnot, going back to these people called Susan B. Anthony and all these other motherfuckers. And so what did they do? They came up with one where the white women can push back, and they called her Wonder Woman. But she still was white. You know, so imagery is everything. You know, ask the Ray Kroc family that started the McDonald's empire. Ask them. Image is everything. You know, so the imagery of the black male in the young male child's mind, the white Santa Claus. So somebody, some brilliant black person decided to push back and come up with a black Santa Claus. And so go get him a costume and a chip and ask the owners of the mall, could he post up and have him a chair and the little black babies and male and female can take pictures with a black Santa Claus. You know, in Africa, no different than here in America, the colonized minds, when it came to the white baby doll. And these Europeans are so slick, even the ones who try to make you think that they weren't like Botha, the old honky Botha, and de Klerk, F.W. de Klerk, or whatever his name was, and want to get them to sit down and have some reconciliation with Mandela and the crew. And when he told them they could kiss her ass, and then she got chided for it because she decided to still stay Winnie, and she went to her grave like Winnie. And so these Europeans, knowing the damage that was done for 200 years, so they did an experiment, and they got the little girls and lined them up. And they put a white doll and a black doll on the table. And they asked the little girls to choose the pretty doll. And which one was the ugly doll? I mean, 99% of the little girls chose the white doll. So what you think that's about? See, we go into this thing about looking at crime like right then and there, and that's it. But we don't want to explore the psychological aspects, the psychological factors which lead to the shit. No baby, male or female, comes out of his or her mother womb saying bitch, nigga, and all this kind of stuff. Ain't no niggas and bitches came from Africa. Ain't no hoes came from Africa. Ain't no slaves came from Africa. And that's why I say ain't no slaves came from Africa. Now try to correct me. No slaves didn't come from Africa. And it's not rocket science. It's not rocket science at all. But they will make you think that it is. By even some of our own so-called people. And so we have to question them. We have to put them, their feet to the fire. Our children, if left alone, are brilliant. There are scientific studies from melanin to bone marrow and everything else. These scientific studies that these Europeans secretly, quietly do, that they conduct on the black baby and the little white baby. I can't make it up. And then they will accuse you of black supremacy. When you talk about the psychomotor skills of a black baby at these months, advances that black child, coupled with the melanin in his or her brain, the midsection of the brain. Hell, the word for the name of this little part of the brain is called black. The word for it is black. It's called the substantia nigra. N-I-G-R-A, which is a Latin Spanish term which means black. It's I'm trying to find this word, but it's about the size of the first part of your thumb. Sits in the midsection of the brain. And that is the source of the melanin in the brain. And so from the nervous system, the spinal column, and the development of the bone marrow, and how this little black babies at certain months can develop patterns or habits or the ability to now to be able to sit up. When you place a child on the bed, when you try to change the child's pamper or something or whatever, and the child has the ability to stay up. Yeah, I can't make this shit up. Quiet is kept. And the little white babies, according to the research, weren't able to do it at the same months. Don't take my word for it. See, these are studies that are done quietly. There was another study about space flight. Well, who would be better prepared for space missions, long enduring space mission? And they brought up the thing about the bone marrow. And they said that black people, non-whites, would be more suited for longer enduring space flights. I can't make this up. So our children are something else. And it begins when the society begins to kick in and who the parents is. Because they knew from one that the minute they separated and split up our families on that plantation, that there would be a part two if they needed one. That's what they call Reconstruction. Physical slavery, Reconstruction, Jim Crow, civil rights, and then the 70s. Those are periods, moments in time that you cannot take one without the other. you will be unable to separate one from the other. It's like trying to leapfrog from physical slavery. And we say physical slavery, folks, because we ain't playing that we were set free shit like talking about it. Now, that may be offensive to some people, but we get it. We're saying and understanding that, yes, black people were set free from physical bondage. And they were allowed physically to walk off that plantation. At least that's what they told us. And the last of them got around against the Texas, 1865. So that's what they call Juneteenth Day. And it's become a celebration. And it is worth celebrating. Because for one, it should reconnect us to physical slavery. Not just some money-making venture. Some motherfuckers gonna go make t-shirts on for Juneteenth fucker go and they pack up and they off on some other shit. It was just a money-making venture. No, we don't do that. We 365 with it. Straight up. So if I'm talking about you, I'm talking about you. It is what it is. This ain't no fad. This ain't no fashion. But at the same time, it is a fashion. A revolutionary fashion. So you couldn't disconnect one without the other. Like some of these sisters done told these brothers, want to marry me? You're also marrying my son. You want to marry me? You're marrying my three daughters. And like the brother told the sister, okay, if I'm going to put a ring on your finger, you're marrying my son too. And ain't nothing wrong with that at all. That's when they really give a fuck about each other. Straight up. Yeah, that's my son. That's my daughter. Straight up. That ain't my stepdaughter. That's my daughter. We've always been like that. Always have been. So to criminalize a race, then you would set something in motion that only they can get out of. Ain't no program going to change that. It may slow it down just a little bit. A little bit. But ain't no program going to alter that overall. Unless that program comes with the power. There ain't a place on this planet that you can look at and find the power and find the people that's with the power ain't exercising the power. That's why some people be asking, how could Africa be so rich and got the poorest people? Well, let me ask this question. How could this fictitious country called South Africa have a 12% white population, which is a fucking minority, and they're ruling shit? Because when I was coming up in middle school, I remember hearing that the majority rules. I remember this time we had to vote. And the class was an odd number. So there was some little thing we was voting on, a project, whatnot, this, that, and other. So there was a vote. Well, the last person had the deciding vote. And both sides is like, you know, come on, man. What you waiting for? Vote yes. So that's 6 they lost. So that's what we was taught. They said the majority rules. Okay. Okay. Well, if the majority rules, then how is it in Southern Africa that the white minority population is ruling shit? I can't make this up. Go look at the shareholders, the stockholders. Go look at the diamond magnates who still left. Go look at the jewelry magnates who still left. Go look at the billionaires who still left. Go look at Parliament. Look at the real estate brokers. Look at the companies. And you tell me. You tell me. Yeah, you put a nigga up there. Why? Because it's cosmetics. As long as he does your business, he cool. He's good. Everybody appreciates him. Everybody loves him. You put a nigga in there that could think like everything about his whole psyche. That's a problem. That's a freaking problem. So you put a man to do what? To keep the shit going, to keep it intact. Because this subtleness has gotten so sinister. It's gotten so sinister, you know. And you look at the young people and you see them and you wonder what's wrong with people of my generation.
No.
More like one of my comrades said, when I find out what's wrong with them, to answer that question, you take your ragged ass and go look in the mirror. And you will get your answer. The abandonment of our children by even our own people. And they'll take our best minds, the weed and seed program, school to prison pipeline. You know, the constant attack on black women. That's no coincidence. Again, ain't no niggas came from Africa. Ain't no hoes came from Africa. So they knew they were setting something in motion that eventually would be the plague. And all these attempts, you know, these attempts. The creation of programs, the Black Panther Party had a 10-point program. And the Black Panther Party 10-point program was predicated on what? A survival program pinned in the revolutionary transformation of society. The Chinese had a 7-point program, which was what? Sort of a survival program, a strategy to keep the people alive. And the transformation of society. And that's what happened. Led by Chairman Mao Zedong, or Zedong. He was a genius because he understood all the facets of Chinese society. The peasant class, the lowly peasant, you know, the workers. You know, and so forth. And they weren't going on about some shit about a Band-Aid. The British attacked them with the opium and turned them into dope addicts overnight. And they made hundreds of millions of dollars off of that. And the Chinese emperor was like, look, we about to stop these imports. We about to cut these motherfucking ships off. Damn that. And what did the British do? The British didn't say, okay, man, we sorry. No, the British didn't do that. The British fired up their wall cannons. Isn't that something? Here the Chinese trying to stop the dope trade to save their fucking children. And the British, who claim to be Christians and morals and have ethics, they were like, the hell with all of that shit. We ain't trying to hear none of that. But they will have you hear it. They fired up their wall cannons because the Chinese wanted to stop them from importing that opium into their country, which is pretty much heroin, liquid heroin. Devastated the Chinese society. Devastated them. Mm-hmm. Now I can try to get us to understand these conditions and these problems from a historical perspective because there was too much of that bullshit going on. It's too much. These philanthropists, you know, they got their role in the shit. Again, it boils down to power. I mean, what else is it going to be? And here we got mother running around here when they read the newspaper or on their phones looking at electronic news, news break and all this other shit, right? And they shocked that an 11-year-old girl murdered an adult man. They shocked. They can't believe it. Because you know why? You've been going around for the lungs with your head stuck up your ass. That's why. Or in the same one. One of them, you shocked. Incredible. Now, I'm not saying, you know, that's not, you know, that's impossible that would happen. But all I'm saying is, like, it just goes to show you the level of consciousness and how people viewing things, you know. Like you know, these spates of, mass murders. They're taking, you know, shootings. They used to call it multiple shootings. You know, you go. Oh, three people shot tonight on the south side of Chicago. Four people shot tonight in Detroit. Three people was murdered last night in Orange Mound. You know, three gang members shot to death on Cleveland Avenue in Atlanta. You know, two bloods killed last night in South Central. On and on and on and on and on, you know, right? They've renamed the shit. They've rebranded them. They've taken them and placed them in another category. Now it's just all mass shootings now. So why did they do that? Because they know that the typical definition of mass shooting was the white boy that then went up, shot up the school, shot up the theater, shot up the supermarket, the typical mass shooting. So why did they do that? They lump them all together. Why? They lump them all together so they can water it down. So when you say mass shooting, see, they already know the outcome. They know that because their ancestors, what their ancestors set up, and even old pig rapist George Washington even said that he fears that he trembles, knowing that God is just. I mean, the audacity to say that, which means that he could go to sleep, wake up, go to sleep, wake up, and every now and again, his conscience would appear to creep in, which is what led him to say that. You know what he was saying? What the Bible says, that the sins of the father shall visit upon the children. So what the Europeans do, they find an alternative to that, because it's about their survival. The white ruling class is about their position. It's about the maintenance of their position in the structure of things. That's why they call them the white ruling class. Now, these white radicals and militants who was out there with that, you know, occupied Wall Street shit, right? They call them the 1%. They take the word white out of the whole phrase and just say the ruling class. See? They don't want to say the white ruling class. And you'd have to be suspect a lot of them. But little old me, I got to say white ruling class. And they got their little functionaries underneath them, black, brown, red, and yellow. And the white is obvious. So they got to protect their position. So the only way they can protect their position is through what? Chaos. Because the chaos gives them a buffer. So when you got two people in an entanglement, that entanglement can do but one of, what, three things, right? It can get broken up or not broken up. The motherfuckers get fucked up. And the motherfucker gonna get fucked up. The only other one lead to is a murder. So it's about the only three things that can happen to an entanglement. Male, 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 female, female, male, and so forth. I saw some still photo shots of two sisters. Look like two sisters, three, maybe, I don't know, two, probably two, three, four. But I saw some still photo shots. You know, two sisters, obviously, you know, they were wearing skirts probably, whatnot. And the caption said, two beautiful sisters. You know, get into a brawl and basically just strip themselves of their clothes. You know, and motherfuckers is like, that's like the new fashion. You know, people whip out their phones, you know, and pull shit, you know. And instead of the three or four, five dudes that end up saying shit, pulling them apart. No, they filming and they, it's like it's funny to them. That goes to show you the level that we've sunk to by the, you know, the effects of the colonized mind. You know, and of course, that's an attack on black women when you put it in that perspective. But they got to keep their position intact, the structure of things. That's why it's the criminalization about children. To scapegoat them. They the scapegoats. And you got some successful blacks, and they'll be like, okay, well, from time to time, we'll, you know, start up a program. You know, motherfuckers start up a program so you can't criticize them. Some of them do it just for strategy. Some of them do it just so a nigga like me won't talk about it. Won't be critical. So I was all talking about P. Diddy. So, man, you don't know, man. P. Diddy, man. P. Diddy have a program in New York, man, in Brooklyn, man. He does that. Well, let's ask P. Diddy about power. Does he have a thing about going after the power? No. Like the little dudes that tell you on the street, okay, you're going to arrest me. But they'll just replace me with another. I mean, the first time I heard that shit, I was like, man, he just told everybody. In a sense, fuck all y'all. Y'all don't know what y'all talking about. Y'all think y'all know what y'all talking about. Y'all think that they going to arrest me and stop the fucking dope hustle, they'll just replace me with another one. The question is, who is the day that he's talking about? That's the question. Who's the day that he's talking about? Right then and there, he was trying to tell the world that I ain't shit compared to them. But you can kidnap me and don't do nothing to them. Those little brothers understand and they know this shit. They know it. They know that they will be the scapegoat for the real motherfuckers who allow this shit to go on. This government cannot function without internal chaos. But let's be careful here. This internal chaos can become conscious of itself. And that's what really would seal their fate. The state. What's the state? We always say the politician, the businessman, the judge, and the police, who work in concerted effort, hand in glove. You got the junior concentration camps and you got the senior concentration camps. How is it that a country like Sweden, there's about two or three of those Western Central European countries that come to mind. Central European countries that some of us may never even heard of before. But like Norway and Sweden, quietly practicing socialism, quietly. Quietly practicing socialism. And guess what? Got one of the highest this thing where they grade the gross domestic product, this GDP and GNP shit, gross national product, whatever, right? Employment and all these other wonderful things, right? A health system and all these wonderful things, a education system and all these wonderful things, quiet as kept. Practicing socialism with some implements of capitalism. But why is that? And then when something happens in Sweden, it's a shock that this crime happened. Like white people in these majority white cities and towns and states, you know, they're shocked that this happened in this town. Because stuff like that don't happen here. There's that subliminal language, you know. But why is that? Nobody wants to really go into those factors. And when I say it like that, it's these ones who've been placed before us as the thinkers. What Du Bois referred to as the talent intent. Those who are supposed to be our leaders, those who are supposed to guide us in the knowledge, wisdom, and the understanding of things. And that couldn't be further from the truth. Because the ones that actually did it, that attempted to do it and were doing it, were the ones who were persecuted, prosecuted, chased out of the country, assassinated, thrown in these concentration camps on trumped up charges. Because they was able to reach the children. Especially during the summertime, because the children didn't have to go to school, which means they had more time on their hands. And what did the state do? The state attacked them. That's why this elder would say that the so-called arrest rates would skyrocket in summertime when it came to them. And you want to talk about what the fuck our children doing today? Why they acting out the way they acting out. And the state understands. People who study this shit, that's their job. They can give you a forecast on the murder rate for this year. They could give you a forecast on who coming back. It's, oh, well, he'll be back. I guarantee you that. What makes you guarantee he'll be back? That's the question. What makes you guarantee he'll be back? That means you know something that a lot of people, that some other people don't know. But then there's some who know. Yeah, he'll be back. Knowing my brother, yeah, he'll be back. Yeah, knowing my brother. But what about you, though? The one that makes that statement. So what program could possibly prevent that? Now, there's these reentry programs, and I've been to some of these, you know, folks, you know, these brothers and sisters who mean well, you know, these brothers who've been done these long beds in these Louisiana concentration camps and stuff, you know. But the numbers are overwhelming. We're talking about collectively. There's been those who've spoken in such grim terms. Giving such grim descriptions of this shit. Michelle Alexander has a book called, some sister named Michelle Alexander. You may not make the assumption that everybody knows what I'm talking about. There's this sister, and sometimes I struggle with saying that. Okay? There's this black woman, and I may struggle with that too. But anyway, a book called Had it on my mind. But it was about the prisons, the so-called prison system, right? The warehousing of black people in the prison system.
You're not talking about the new Jim Crow, huh?
The new Jim Crow. Mm-hmm. That's it. Just the name right there. That's right. Right on camera. Just the name right there. Two heads better than one. But yeah, just the name of the book. Just the name of the book. The New Jim Crow. Here it is, 2024. Now, the book was published, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, something like that. But the fact that she's calling it in the 21st century, the New Jim Crow. Just think about that for a second. Which means the old will never die. And they told us we was free. The second we was free. You know, desegregation. You know. An amazing episode, man. But yeah, which means the old will never die. Well, he got more subtle. More sophisticated. That tactic, that strategy, in other words, it's an old house with a new paint job. The house ain't went no fucking way. Ain't no bulldozer went bulldozer down. It's still left. Ain't nobody put no bulldozer to it. Like what they doing in Gaza. Once they kill off the people in that community, bulldoze the motherfucking house. They got white Jewish people not moving on the property, moving on those lands right now. Claiming them right now. I seen a video of these white women out there squatting. Yeah, squatters. Literally claiming the land. It's our shit now. How did they get it? Got it by making war. What is war? War is violence. What is violence? Scientific violence. Laser got him missing. You know, like they just got to be talking about, or they knocked out one of Hezbollah's leaders or some shit in southern Lebanon or something like that, right? You know? Laser got him missing. Boom, he dead. You know? But they claim this shit. It's theirs. And that's what power is. That's what power is. Then you take those conditions and you make concrete realities out of them. It's the material conditions that lead to those concrete realities. Now, the only thing we got to do now is ask, well, what are the material conditions? That's a question we got to ask. What is the material conditions then? What are they? You know. But in her book, you know, that's what she talks about. She's well-researched. I'd like to see somebody refute the shit in the book. That's what I'd like to see. I'd like to see somebody come along and dismantle everything that she got in the book. That's what I want to see. But she's well-researched. She even points out how Barack Obama used the same strategy that Ronald Reagan, Pig Reagan, and Pig Senior Bush used to get in the office. And most black people don't even know that. Because most black people ain't read her book. Chances is. But she describes how Barack Obama, a black man, used the same strategy that Pig Reagan and Pig Bush Sr. used to get in office. What was that strategy? To scare middle-class white women into voting for him. By using who? The black fucking criminal. Yeah. She documents it in the book. Sure did. And here come these black petty bourgeoisie. Here they come. Seize the time. Here they come. Look at Cornel West. Look at him. He's sounding all radical and shit. He's coming out. He's coming out against government, imperialism, police, all this shit. I got fucking gray hair now. I got some gray hair. I got, you know, shit, what's it called, peppercorn? I don't remember hearing him saying that shit when my shit was all black. I don't remember him saying none of that. As a matter of fact, I even had a chance to ask him a question, but what do you do? He got an attitude. So I guess if I ask the same question now, it'd be a different response. So what done happened to him now? Now the nigga want to run for president. Look, Public Enemy was my favorite rap group, right? I love Public Enemy for what they stood for. The music, the consciousness, the militancy, all that shit. The Black Panthers. You know, the S1W was the Black Panthers. That's who the S1W was. They was the Black Panthers in uniform, the security of the First World. I mean, very highly trained dudes now. They wasn't just wearing, you know, that shit and, you know. They weren't just doing that. No, very, very skilled brothers. Nice with their hands. You know, real talk. You know, trained by Professor Grip. If you seen Grip, little old dude, you know. Flavor Flav called them the Five Fingers of Death. You know, but yeah, you know, Chuck D. Bond coined that West. Some of them were bad, man. That might pitch you against your favorite rap group, you know. Well, it's not personal. I'm just telling you what, you know, what I see, you know, after years of, like any other young black man coming up and growing up, you know, hearing these niggas speak and all this old shit, Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, all these other people, you know, and I look at them. And I look around, you know, the world and see who other people's speakers was, and they can't hold their job strap. The Chinese had Ho Chi Minh and Bowen Jack. The Cubans had Castro and Che. You know, Che came from South America. You know, the Algerians had the FLN, National Liberation Front. You know, like I said, the Chinese had Mao Zedong, and before him, Sun Yat-sen, who was a genius, who passed it on to Mao Zedong. So when they spoke to their people, what did they speak to their people about? When they spoke to their youth, what did they speak to their people about? To their youth, what did they speak to their youth about? The importance of the youth about what in reference to what? Oppression. So what is Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson? What was they doing back in the 70s and the 80s? What were they doing? What were they saying to the youth? Keep hope alive. And you wonder why our children in the fucking condition that they in? Real shit, man. Real talk. How often do we have these types of conversations? Like my comrade say, you know, he fair warns you. If you not prepared to hear the real shit, disconnect. Simple as that. We don't profess to be superheroes, none of that shit though. What we talking about is what we know we talking about. Understanding this shit from a historical perspective ain't nothing like it. All too many times, we let people engage us in our issues and our problems, the things that plague us from a fruit perspective. It's like going nowhere fast. Like being on that treadmill running 100 fucking miles an hour and you ain't went no goddamn way. And we allow people to engage us in these discussions and talks and gatherings and beatings and all this kind of shit. Beatings of the minds and whatnot. And we walk out of there just as fucked up as we was before we went in the first place. Somebody got to control the narrative. We got a lot of people that's talking from the pulpit. But Dan in them goddamn streets though. And the young people ain't coming to your place. They ain't going to the mosque to get no surah out the Quran. You got to take that Surah and that Quran to them. And any other of the holy books. There's a lot of wisdom in those books. If they were applied correctly, can put a dent in the system. If the Jesus that they describe in the New Testament was alive today, they'd be calling him a socialist and a revolutionary in the fucking blink of an eye. Because he would have hated capitalism. Capitalism is the offshoot of what? Is the question. American capitalism is the offshoot of what? Western European capitalism. Western European capitalism is the offshoot of what? The Romans. Who were the Romans an offshoot of? Who were the Greeks an offshoot of? Sheer barbarism. So Jesus didn't have a fucking gray area when it came to Caesar. He drew the fucking line in the dirt. You have a gray area. So to all you who want to claim Jesus, before you try to give somebody else a sermon on him, that's why the young people tired of that shit. Because you ain't being them. They're smarter than you think by what you perceive by the way they look. We don't interact with them like we should. Yeah, some of them need a ass whipping. A lot of them need a good old-fashioned butt whipping, like the old folks used to say. And even that shit right there, even that right there tell you something. That right there will tell you something. Just goes to show you the situation that we've been put in, that we got to whip our daughter ass or our son ass with a belt. Some of them use an extension cord. You know. And even that right there put you in the bind. Because what happened? Oh, here comes the state. Child abuse. They got some motherfuckers right now. Successful as I don't know what. Got so many ass whippings that if the state would have found out, their parents would have been locked away in fucking prison. And what they say? I'm glad my mama whipped my ass. I remember that time I was 7, and my mama tore my butt up. But look at me now. Thanks, Ma. Mama living in the motherfucking Hamptons. Because she whipped his ass when he was 7. But according to the state, that's child abuse. Just look at the contradictions. Like when that pig murdered Michael Brown and those young people expressed themselves. And it scared the state. And what did the camera people do? They praised that black woman who beat her son live on TV. They praised her. For the same thing, we would have said, yeah, his mama whipped his ass so he can be straight when he grow up and become successful. Here she caught live on national freaking television. And the state didn't visit her house at all. CNN, they praised that black woman. They seized the time to exploit that shit. They were putting their face on what a black woman should be with us, with her child. And you know why? The only reason why they did that is because the children had kicked off a fucking rebellion. But if those children would have went on some rampage in fucking Haiti or elsewhere, they would have said, look at those animals. Providing whether or not that Haitian government was for or against. So they pick and choose when the shit's all right. But they didn't choose Malcolm when he came from the streets. He was resurrected through Islam, through a form of Islam under the Nation of Islam. You know, the Quran and whatnot and other mold of black psychology. Okay? But you take these children who finishing at the top of their class, what happens to them? Oh, see, that's a different ball game right there. And that's why I tell young people today, don't allow people from my generation to separate you from your goddamn friends. Y'all stick together because you're going to need each other. This country is headed toward a cataclysm. Those who so-called at the top, they understand this shit. That's why they're preparing for all kind of shit. That's why they're working on laser weaponry, what they call microwave energy. You can't see it, but it can bust your vessels in your brain and give you an aneurysm. Make blood come out of your eyes and your ears and your nose. They call that preparation for crowd control. They've even practiced mock insurrections, mock rebellions, where the people then got out of control, got beyond the first and second line of defense. That means the police and the National Guard. See, there's grades too. And they've practiced these mock insurrections. That's what they call Homeland Security. Right? And they turn the thing up just a little bit. And you should have seen the crowd scatter the fuck out. What they got there for? You do one or two things. You keep these niggas in the barbarian mode, a savage mode, or they get out of it, and then you got to resort to that kind of shit. And you know the thing about this right here? Is that sacrifice is going to have to be made. There's casualties in all wars. And it's like, I'm speaking in grim terms. I sound grim. I know I sound grim. We probably had people that listened to the show just got too much for them. You know? May have shaken them. But if we get on here for the next 6 months and talk about who gonna win the fucking Super Bowl, everybody be on here. Everybody be on here. Who gonna win the NBA championship? Everybody be on here. If we were doing the goddamn post show after the motherfucking Soul Train Awards, everybody be on here. Everybody. You know. But we understand, we get it. We get it. And that's why we got to keep struggling, because it's a protracted struggle. It's not going to happen overnight. And all of us need to make a contribution. I don't give a fuck where you live. I don't give a fuck what you do. If you want to go and become a fucking lawyer, knock yourself out. Shit, we might need one. You want to be a nurse? Shit, we might be the nurse too. You know, matter of fact, we could use a minister of health. Somebody that can keep us right, eating right. Real talk. You know? But I don't give a shit what you do. You could be a stripper. This is America. So it don't really matter. What matters is, do you love your people? And if so, you make your contribution. Everybody else, fuck them. fuck them. When you become a revolutionary, you think you see things clear, realistically, you know. Oh man, you don't have to pretend or make believe, you know. But your life is just as important as anybody else. Some people think that they go to church every Sunday, they go to the mosque, they go to the temple, that they're somehow, some kind of way, more favored than the person on the street corner. Is that really true? And if Jesus were to come back this weekend, where would you find him then? That same person, they can afford to go to a nice restaurant, nice club, and have a drink. You know, sit there and talk, and the brothers can, you know, they got a little section where they can smoke expensive cigars and all kinds of shit. You know, they got a motherfucking cigar spot in Houston. You go sit there, you know, sit in the expensive leather chair, you know, roll your shit up and whatnot, you know, sit there and chop it up, whatnot, you know, yeah, you know. Real talk. But you think you'll find Jesus there lighting one up with you? And you go to church every Sunday too? You think you'll find him there with you? No, you ain't gonna find him there. You're gonna find him under the goddamn bridge where the fucking heroin addicts at. At least that's what the New Testament indicates. You know, hung out with the prostitutes and, you know, the outcasts, the people who was considered as derelicts, undesirables today. You know, there's a whole campaign to get rid of them. They call them useless eaters. Oh, well, he had to be on the little bridge. That's a decision he made. Really? Really? Nobody wants to be poor. Nobody wants to be a fucking criminal. Nature don't work like that. That's some artificial shit. You have to create the material conditions in order to achieve those results. You have to be a Machiavellian to pull that kind of shit off. You have to be a sinister, shiesty-ass individual to pull that off. You have to prey on people. That's what they call marketing ideas. Diamonds is a girl's best friend. That slogan was invented by a white Jew, an old white Jew who lived damn near 100 years. He lived so long he had a chance to talk with, let's see, the Rockefeller's dad. The Rockefeller patriarch, John D. Rockefeller. He lived that long. And when they had these ideas, these venture ideas after they conquered these lands and started creating these images of buying and selling and adding value to things, he got called in. How can we get these diamonds to become so internalized to where it becomes emotional? Because they knew that women are some emotional creatures. And he pondered over that shit over and over and over and over again. Here's a man that all he did was spent his whole life, all his brain power, figuring out how to get motherfuckers to buy shit. And he came up with that slogan, that diamonds is the girl's best friend. You see some women today right now, they'll say they love you with all their fucking heart. You tell her you want to marry. She going to say, where's my ring? And why ain't you on your knees? Some dudes are just, go get the motherfucker, bring it, and just hand it to her in the little box. She's so caught up, she'd rather see you get on your knees. That's what they They created that. See, that's the kind of shit I'm talking about. That's the kind of effect on another human being's mind that another man can have. Unbeknownst to them, not realizing that they're being victimized. You know how some people study a car engine and learn all facets of that motherfucker, then you become a mechanic, get him a loan or something, or some startup, somebody come help. He open up a mechanic shop, right? You know, people got a car engine product. They come to fix the fucking car. He charge him a fee, right? Boom. All right. Because he studied the car. He wanted to know all about this. He wanted to be a mechanic when he grew up, right? Okay. This motherfucker sit here and studied women's emotions, responses. Like, what triggers tears out of a woman? What does that? I'm telling you. We just got to understand. So we got to do. And so it was an avalanche from there. Next thing you know, the motherfucker with Coca-Cola, or the motherfucker with want to sell your car tires. Okay. I mean, they just start hiring him all over the goddamn. So everybody wanted to hire him. Well, look, I got you. I want to sell it. Well, can you come up with look, I want to open up a lunch counter. Well, can you come up with, well, yeah, BLT, America's, what is it? The bacon, lettuce, tomato. That's America's favorite breakfast, BLT. He created all of that shit. He created all of that. Next thing you know, everybody in America believe in the shit. They go into lunch counter. I want to order a BLT. Literally. That shows you what people can do to another person's mind, how you can shape somebody else's mind. So why am I saying all this shit? Why am I saying all of that? That's how little girls internalize things, and then when they grow up being teenagers, and then they grow up to be young women, and then older women, and then next thing you know, they're calling each other bitches and hoes. And niggas is obvious. So somebody like Tupac with genes enough to realize that and understand how this shit was working, how this devil moved, says, okay, well, I'm going to flip the script on this shit, and I'm going to return it around on them. I'm going to turn it around on them. It's a process. A militancy that has to pervade. A militancy that has to rear its ugly fucking head. According to them. There could never be anything that the devil does is good that's good for us. You know, some people say, hey, man, watch it. You know, watch when you say never. You know, never say never. You know, because, you know, you never know. Come back around and bite you in your ass. Okay, well, that's one of them fucking ones, man. Can any good come out of the devil? Can any good? Is the devil capable of changing and becoming good? Is God evil? I'm not trying to turn this into no religious debate or nothing. It's just use this example, just basic, simple shit to just get people to understand here. Is what I'm saying to you. You know, so no motherfucker could say that he good and does these things, and I start saying, and the shit ain't no good. How am I supposed to see him as good? You know? How am I supposed to see him as good? Right? But it's how you can target a population of people, and you target them for a reason. And again, they got these talking Negro heads, you know, that little Bible head. And all of a sudden, they got one of Jason Kelsey and all this kind of shit, him and his brother with the Bible head. I want to put the shit there. I guess all the little boys want to go and get one or whatever. Or they mama got to go, daddy got to go get them one, whatever that shit is, right? When you sit there and the head be moving, well, that's what they like, you know, talking fucking heads. And again, so ain't no white man made him pull that trigger. I don't need you to tell me that. So I don't know what conversation you having between having one. You not having that conversation with people's political party. You ain't having that conversation with us. You have a conversation with somebody else. We're not going to play that fruit shit. We're not going to do that. The material conditions create concrete realities. You can look around the fucking world and see where it happened everywhere on the planet and find the same shit. It happened in China. It happened in Cuba. It even happened with the white people in Ireland, what the British was doing them, when the British wanted that shit next door, what they was doing them. And those were white people. It had shit to do with black people. It were white people that was doing that shit. It just ain't made motherfucking news. It were white people that was doing that shit. It had nothing to do with no black people. Period. I've even seen where this white boy, George something, he recently won a seat in Parliament. Everybody's up his ass. You know, I'll give him a little credit. He done exposed the Bilderbergs and the Rockefellers and the Rothschild and all this. He's exposed a lot of shit. At some point, you know, his plane gonna crash. Something gonna happen to him. You know, because he's so. You know, I've seen him even say it. They fooled around one time and put him on CNN and got to talking all that shit about this, that, and other, and the shit that's going on in America and racial relationships and all that. He went straight in on him. He went straight in on him. And dude tried to bring the shit up about what was going on with the Irish, how the Irish lived. He said, you're right. He said, but guess what? He said, when the Irish was claiming they had problems over there in Ireland, and the black people was getting their ass beat all over the place during slavery, he said, what did the Irish do? The Irish came here and joined the whites. When they should have came here and joined the slaves, because the slaves and the Irish was getting the same beating by the same fucking people. But they came here and joined them with the whites. You see how bad black people had? But it's those conditions. Look, man, they got a lot of people to understand this shit. They got a lot of people to know. They got two types of people, you know, motherfuckers that know, motherfuckers that don't know. And they got two types of people that know. Those that know it but won't say shit, and those that know it ain't going to be loud as they can when they get a chance to. Like when we get a chance, we be loud with it so because we want the people to hear. Not because we want to gain attention, won't be in no spotlight, trying to get all these hits and all this kind of shit and whatnot. No. It is what it is. This is a political education platform here. Too bad we don't own OWN television. Too bad we don't have OWN, Oprah Winfrey Network. Too bad we don't have a Black News Network. You know, nigga had BET. What do? He go and sell it to the motherfuckers who already had hundreds of stations. Here, this nigga got a whole Black-owned apparatus. Right? A form of media communication with his own people. Come on when you want. Turn the motherfucker off when you want. What do you go do? You go set up the Viacom. And they got hundreds of stations. They're on MTV. They got theirs. So what made him sell his shit to them? This is incredible. This is an incredible shit. And we wonder what's wrong with the children. See, these motherfuckers, they winning on Michael Vick over fighting dogs. But they won't go in on Hollywood for making these movies. Putting these movies out. Who was allowed them to take the cap off of the TV and stop blanking out the profanity in the movies when they show, oh, this movie is formatted for television. Who gave them the go ahead to do that? You think that's coincidental? Oh, that's not coincidental. That is a design thing. That shit was already forked. They already planned that. Look, they don't just do. Look, it's Tuesday, and some shit just happened tomorrow. No, they just didn't. It just didn't happen. No, they planned it in advance. 9/11 was planned in advance. Okay, that shit was planned in advance. The attack on Pearl Harbor was planned in advance. Some say, oh, here they go. They conspiracy theorists. He's a nut job. He's a wacko. All that kind of shit. But you know the funny part is they got these history books when they get to talk world history books, when they get to talk about the Romans and whatnot, Caesar and Augustus and all those other motherfuckers, right? You know, they talk about the conspiracy, how one murdered his brother to get the throne. He had him murdered, beheaded, or some shit, right? The conspiracy. And they'll tell you that all day long, and they expect you to believe it because it's in the books. But the funny part is, you weren't there. You weren't there, and you will teach that in the book. how he conspired against his brother. But the minute we say something like Pearl Harbor, you conspiracy theorist. Anderson Cooper, he good at it. Anderson Cooper is good at that shit. They all instructed that scene that, look, he's going to say something, and we just need y'all to just keep saying conspiracy theorists. That's it. That crazy motherfucker, what her name is, Green, Marjorie Taylor Green. Now, she talked about the COVID shit. She was hitting right on it. She done got some information from somebody who told her what actually how the shit got out. And she thought, and what did they do? Boom, they went right. You know who made up that conspiracy theory shit but to get people to not believe it? The CIA created that. The CIA created that. Because they know the shit that people done got a hold of is actually what's being done. It's a conspiracy fact that our children have been criminalized. And the ones that slip through the cracks, okay, well, they got to come with us. Who, the mom and daddy? Or the mom and daddy live over here? Okay, well, look. He's good at football. We're going to send him to Alabama or Georgia, right? You know, the teams that keep constantly winning the national college football title, whatever, right? They'll keep sending them to them teams, right? Okay, we'll send them there. All right, and then not only when we'll send him there, we'll get all the sports commentators to be up his ass 24 hours a day. Says he's the best this, he's the best that, he's number one in the country. We'll get them to be up his ass all day. We're going to call ESPN and get Mel Kiper and all these experts on draft day to be up his ass. And he's going to leave school early. He's going to announce his eligibility for the NFL draft. And then we're going to get his mom and dad to be there. Okay? And the aunt who was on his ass when his mama was hustling to keep food on the table. Right? And we're going to arrange for him to be drafted first. See, they plan this in advance. I can't make this shit up. Because you know why? He got to come with us. He can't go that way. He can't go to the right. Now, I say right and left based on two different things. As a revolutionary organization, we are leftists. Okay. But when it comes to our spirituality, we to the motherfucking right. Where it says, and Jesus ascended to heaven and sat on the right side of the Lord. So this is the part I'm talking about right here. But they'll arrange that. They'll arrange that. And even so much so that he belongs to us, he's going to have a white girlfriend sitting right there with his black ass on fucking draft day because he went to Alabama. All of that's prearranged. And he didn't even understand the whole shit. All he knows is that he will be able to buy his mom a nice house, get his mom out the fucking projects. But he got to come with us. Now, if he don't come with us, he's going to end up out there getting it like you know how. Because we can prevent that shit from happening. That movie Trading Places that they made back in the 80s with Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd is a classic example of what I'm talking about. And they better the dollar. We don't believe in that picking apples from the tree shit because we know it's bullshit. And a lot of people who claim to have been our leaders have benefited from that. They profited from that shit. Now, some of these brothers and sisters got these organizations and groups whatnot, and they got the little programs and stuff like that. You know, shit, we participate in school supply giveaways. You know? We're not narrow-minded, but we ain't stupid. All we're saying is that our children have to be under some type of a mechanism to where most of them got to fail. Because there's no way that they would be allowed to collectively succeed Because if they collectively secede, which means that they will have a black thought, like one of the greatest lyricists of all time, of the Roots. Yeah, but listen to him. A mind like that, with a black thought, the same way white Jewish people do. They have what they have what's called Jewish thought. That shit don't say Jewish slash black. It don't say Jewish, and it damn sure enough ain't going to say Jewish slash Arab. No, it's not going to do that. It may say Jewish slash Christian, because that's an alliance just simply between two white groups who just claim a specific religious branch. But them motherfuckers cut from the same cloth. And what is the objective of the goal? To keep denying whites at the fucking bottom. And take the ones who appear to shine academically and recruit them to stay in the positions that they're in. And shame on them. This shit ain't easy. Let's be realistic. But at the same time, if you say you love your people, you're going to do something for your people. You ain't going to just say that shit because somebody else saying it. It's going to show in you. And the only way it can show is if it's from your heart. You can bench press 500 pounds all you want. You can read the Bible all you want. You can read the freaking Quran all you want. You can convert to Islam. You can convert to Buddhism and meditate all fucking day and learn how to levitate all you want. But if that shit don't get you to make no contribution to your people survival, to be first, to win our humanity back, then it's all bullshit. Straight up. Straight up. So that right here. No. We love what we do. We love what we do. No. Some of us was born for this, molded and shaped for it. It is what it is, man. No. It is what it is. We want the same thing for our people that pig and rapist Washington wanted for him. And we'll never be able to say that enough for all these pundits. I'm talking about the so-called black ones. We're talking to y'all, too. We want the same shit for our people that George Washington wanted for his. Straight up. We'll be black next week, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. In Defense of the People Radio, brought to you by People's Political Party, In Defense of the People. I'm one of your hosts, Chairman Nat, and my co-host, our National Minister of Defense of the Motherland, and our assault technician on the ones, too, Sister Amina Oshun, our National Minister of Communication. We'll be black in a minute. Black power, black people, all power to the people, Yehovah, we out here.